Okay, today's daf is Bechorot Yud Aleph. We're going to start at the bottom, four lines from the bottom, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. But before we start there, I'm just going to go back a few lines before where this Braita is quoted with a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Tana Kamma. It's a few lines before that. Detanya, Tifdeh, Tifdeh. Because it says, they're quoting the Pasuk, V'chol petach hamor tifdeh b'seh, v'im lo tifdeh ba'arafto. So the word tifdeh appears twice in that Pasuk. The first one, we darshan tifdeh miyad, meaning you don't have to wait till it's 30 days old like you do with a bechor of a person. And tifdeh kol shehu, any amount. Okay, meaning you can, even though it says you're supposed to redeem it with a seh, well, then you can redeem it with something else, and it can be worth anything. That's the first, that's Tana Kamma. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Eim P'tia P'chuta Mishekel. He says it has to be a minimum valued at a shekel. Okay, normally when we have a minimum, it's like a pruta, which is much less than a shekel. He says, no, it actually has to be valued at a shekel. So now we're going to talk about Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, four lines from the bottom. Eim P'tia Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Eim P'tia P'chuta Mishekel, Mima Nafshach. He says, so now we're going to say, Miman of Shach, either which way you look at it, we don't understand. If we want to say it's like Bechor Adam, Chamesh Libai, then you would need five Slaim, which is a lot more than one Shekel. V'lomakish Shekel Menale. And if you don't make this Hekesh, well then where do you get that there's this minimum share of a Shekel? So the Gemara says, La'olam lo makish. Okay, clearly you're not makish. Amar Rava, Amar Kra, V'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh. Okay, this is about, in the Pasuk about Erechin, it says, right, anything that you take its value should be b'shekel ha-kodesh. So how does he darshan this? Kol arachin she'ata ma'arich lo yu p'chutim mishekel. Anytime you redeem anything with money, right, Erechin is when you say, my value is going to be to the Beit HaMikdash, or the value of a boy, or the value of a female, or whatever it might be. So, but the, he takes this to mean, right, and then obviously you redeem it with value, you give some monetary value. So anytime you take erchin, it has to be, anytime you take the value of anything, it can't be less than a shekel. V'rabanan, how do they explain this? Hahu behesek yad k'tiv. What they mean is, let's say you say, I'm going to give my value to the Beit HaMikdash, but you don't actually have enough money to cover it. Okay, so chol erkecha yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh means you have to give the minimum of a shekel. So let's say you say, I'm going to give my value, and your value is worth more than a shekel right there. It's not a matter of what kind of person you are. It's a male, right? The Torah states exactly how much you're supposed to give for a male, a female, different amounts for a young person, an older person. But let's say you can't afford it. So the minimum amount you have to give is a shekel. If you can't give a shekel, let's say you can't even afford a shekel, well, then you have to wait until you get the money and you pay your value of a shekel, and until then, you're still obligated. If you can't afford whatever the amount is and you have a shekel, though, that you can't afford, then you can pay that, and with that, you're exempt from your obligation that you set. Why on earth you would say this if you didn't have the money is a separate question, but okay. So again, that's a debate about how they understand the pasuk, and if you explain the pasuk to relate to our issue, then you could get to shekel. Okay? If you explain it like to write Tana Kamma, or basically they say this has nothing to do with our case, and therefore they assume kol shehu, any amount you can redeem the donkey with. Amar Rav Nachman, halacha kedivrei chachamim. Okay, so we hold like chachamim that you can do it with a kol shehu. Now we've seen this before, where a kol shehu doesn't actually mean a kol shehu. Okay, kol shehu could sound like any kind of teeny little amount. But the Gemara is going to say v'kama. How much, in fact, do they mean when they say a kol shehu? I'm Rav Yosef. Afilu patruza bardanka. Even a very lean lamb. That's the value of a danka, which is a sixth of a zuz. So I'm a Rava. Af ananami tanina. Rava says, and we can also see this from the Mishnah because it says gadol v'katan. Right, the Mishnah had said you could redeem it with a seh, gadol, or katan, so therefore he supports what Rav Yosef says by saying you could see that in the Mishnah, because our Mishnah says gadol v'katan. From there we can assume even a very lean lamb that's worth only a sixth of a zuz. So now the Gemara says, pshita, isn't that kind of obvious? In other words, what Rav Yosef said is very obvious, especially in this. It's funny. Rava says, well, we can we can prove what you said from the Mishnah, in which case we now flip the question and say, well, if it's obvious from the Mishnah, then why did he even need to say it? So Mao Detema, you might have thought, kule high low. Maybe not that little of an amount. Inami patruza lo. Maybe, and as he said two things. He said a very lean lamb worth a sixth of a zuz. So number one, maybe you would think a sixth of a zuz is not enough. Number two, you might have thought a very lean lamb looks very nebuch. You know, nobody, how could you redeem that for this chamor? Ka mashmalan. That's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Number one, the amount. And number two, even if it looks really bad. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia havale peter chamor. He had a firstborn donkey. Shadre lekamej Rabbi Tarfon. He went and asked him a question. Amarle kama bi'ina lemetav lekohen. How much do I need to give to the kohen for this peter chamor? Amarle, so Rabbi Tarfon answers him, Hare amru, ayin yafe besela, ayin ra'a b'shekel, benonit biragya. He says, right, this sounds like truma, right, where there's 1/50, which is the ayin benonit, and 1/40, which is the ayin tova, and ayin ra'a is 1/60. So here also, Rabbi Tarfon says the same thing. If you want to give with an ayin yafa, you want to give generously, you give a sela, which is 4 zuz. You want to give with an ayin ra'ah, you want to be minimalistic about how you do this, be a little stingy, you can give a sheka, which is 2 zuz. Beinonit, if you want to be beinonit, you do a biragya. Okay, we don't yet know what a rag is, although we can kind of guess. It must be 3 zuzim, right? 3 dinarim. Remember, zuzim and dinarim are the same. Amarava hilchata biragya. He says, yes, this is in fact what you can give. Bekama, how much is this? Slata zuze, okay? It's 3 zuzim as we estimated. Why is it called ragia? We've never heard this word before. Ragil hacha viragil hacha. It's close to this one and close to that one, okay? Ragil means, you know, usual, but it means here, right? It hangs out with the sela and it hangs out with the shekel, meaning it's right in between the two.
The median.
Right, the median. But now we have a big problem because didn't we say a sixth of a zuz was enough? And now all of a sudden we're saying 3 zuzim, that's a lot more. So the Gemara is going to say, kashya hilchata hilchata. The psak here and the psak we just said before seem to contradict each other. So now they say, lo kashya. Notice the case where Rabbi Tarfon said you have to give either ayin yafa, ayin ra, or ayin benonit. He said it when he was asked a question by Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. So the Gemara says, kam bibali malech. This is if you ask someone what you should do, then the answer is going to be, right, 3 zuzim. Kan ba'osem atzmo. But when we say you're yotze b'kol shehu, that's someone who didn't bother asking and just happened to already do it, and it's kind of done. That's what we call b'dieved lechatchila. Right, lechatchila, you should give a higher amount. But if you already did it, and then, you know, they go to question, does this work or not, then even a sixth of a zuz is going to be sufficient. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yitzchak is going to bring a psak of Rish Lakish. Mi sheyesh lo peter chamor ve'ein lo seliftoto podehu b'shivyo. So now the whole question, right until now, it sounded like it's unclear from the sugya whether they meant until now a seh worth the value of the sixth of a zuz or even the money, right? If you gave an amount of money. But now Rish Lakish is coming to say, if you don't have a seh, you can redeem it with money. Okay? You don't need to have a seh, even though the Torah clearly stated, Peter chamor tifdeh b'seh. Now we're going to learn that you can actually do it. If you don't have a seh, you can do it with some money. Leman, who does this go according to? Ilema l'Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to say according to Rabbi Yehuda, okay, this was a machloka we had previously, in the last two dapim that we didn't learn together. It's machloka Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, about is the chamor asur bahana'ah or not? And then from there, Ula inferred the following statement from Rabbi Yehuda. Now, even though the Gemara actually concluded, not like Ula, the Gemara here goes back to Ula's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda and says it as if it's in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, Ilema l'Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar hikpida alav Torah b'seh. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the chamor is asur bahana'ah, which means that you can't benefit from it, right? Unless what? Right, to Ula, you'd have to redeem it with a seh. Obviously, then, there's no question. Rish Lakish couldn't have said it according to that. Ela l'Rabbi Shimon. It must be according to Rabbi Shimon, okay? Who said that, right, the chamor is mutar bahana'ah, and based on Ula, then he said, right, you don't necessarily have to bring a seh. Rav Acha matnei hachi. So Rav Acha taught it this way. But Ravina Kashele, Ravina said, this doesn't make any sense for two reasons. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. We know that when there's machloka, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, in which case, you can't say that Rish Lakish is pasken like Rabbi Shimon. V'stam lan tana ke Rabbi Yehuda. And additionally, we stated that our Mishnah must have been talking about Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because our Mishnah talked about cases that had a suffix. This is the Mishnah on Daf Tet. We're going to learn together. The Mishnah on Daf Tet stated that if you have a suffix, whether there was a bechor or not, what do you have to do? You have to take a set, right? And then you can keep it. You don't have to give it to the Kohen because I'm a Sima Chavero, a La Pariah. He has no proof because nobody can prove that the Zachar was born first. Right? Let's say you have a Zachar and a Keva born to this donkey. You don't know which one. We said that why does Rabbi Yehuda say you have to redeem it? Because it's Asur B'Hana'ah. If you're Rabbi Shimon, it's not Asur B'Hana'ah, then you don't even need to redeem it. What's the point? If you're going to keep it anyway, what's the point of doing this redemptive, right? Normally, you redeem it in order to give it to the Kohen. If you're not going to give it to the Kohen, there's no point. So therefore, we said our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So number one, we know, right, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halachah Rabbi Yehuda. And if that's not convincing enough, the Stam Lan Tana, our Mishnah, when the simple reading of our Mishnah, right, in other words, there is no stated opinion, but we said that holds, our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Va'at amart halachah Rabbi Shimon, and you're going to explain Rish Lakish is holding that the halachah is like Rabbi Shimon. So we're going to say like this. Ela afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to say no. You could even say that Rabbi Yehuda would say you can use something else besides a set. You can use the money. Why? Lo yehe chamor minai hekdesh. Because we're not going to make this case any more chamor than a regular hekdesh case. In a regular hekdesh case, what's the story? You designate something to the Beit HaMikdash. You can redeem it with money. So we're not going to make this any worse. Below Amra Torah Beset, the reason why the Torah, we have to explain them, why the Torah say Tifde Beset. So why did it say Tifde Beset? Lo Amra Torah Beset, Lahachmir Alav, Ela Lahakel Alav. They weren't trying to make it more difficult for you and say Beset. What were they saying? Normally, if you have Hektesh, what do you have to do? You have to take you gave a donkey to the Beit HaMikdash, which means you gave the value of a donkey to the Beit HaKabai, right? Obviously not for a sacrifice. But there's two ways you could be Makdish. You could be Makdish for a sacrifice. You could be Makdish for the Beit HaKabai, for the money that they need to buy things in the Mikdash. So if you give the value of a donkey, what do you have to do? You have to redeem it for the exact value of the donkey. The chidush here was that you can redeem the donkey with a set, which is worth, it's valued less than a donkey. And therefore, it was a kula to say, if you redeem it with a set, you can do it for less than its value. If not, you have to do it for its value. Okay? So that's what he means here, that it didn't mean you have to do it with a set, like Ula thought that Rabbi Yehuda meant. It specifically has to be done with a set. No, you can just do it with any, right? You can do it with its value. Rav Nachman Bered Rav Yosef Parakla B'Shilki B'Shovyo. He redeemed it with cooked vegetables in the value, the amount that the donkey was valued. Amar of Shizbi, Amar of Huna. Hapodeh Petr Chamor Shel Chavero, Pidyono Padur. Let's say I take your Petr Chamor and I give a set to the coin in place of your Petr Chamor. I redeem it for a set. Okay? So it works. I can do... Right? I can redeem.
Ownership.
Well, the question is going to be, is there really ownership transfer? That's going to be part of the question here. But the point is that if I did the act of pidyon with my animal, it works. Okay,
so
it does.
Someone else's animal? No.
If I do it for you, it's your donkey, and I do it for you with my set. So I can do that. And it's effective. Okay, there's a whole thing about it. Someone takes truma for you, shalom idato, doesn't work. Right, but here it's not that you asked me to do it. It's that I did it on my own accord without asking you. Okay? So I did it. Now the question's going to be, Ibaya lehu pidyono la podeh, odilma pidyono la bali. Now that I redeemed your donkey with my set, do I now own your donkey? Okay? So that's what it means. Pidyono, what you redeemed, does it go to the podet, to the one who redeemed it? Or does it go to the baalim, to the original owner? So, aliba de Rabbi Shimon lo tibayelach. According to Rabbi Shimon, what did Rabbi Shimon say? that the donkey is mutar bahana even before you do pidyon, which means what? Kevanda amar mutar bahana'a, since he holds it, it's mutar bahana'a, mamona debalimu. He views this donkey as belonging to its owners, which means if I redeem it for a set, it doesn't matter. It's still, right, it hasn't changed status. It's still your money. Okay, it's going to be more understandable when you see the other side. Kitibai aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Tamar asur bahana'a. Now, if it's asur bahana'a, then do we say, lehekdesh medamele? If it's forbidden bahana'a, then do we view this as hekdesh, basically, until you redeem it? In which case, Rahmana Amar, what does the Torah say about redeeming something? It says, v'natan ha-kesef v'kamlo. When it comes to hekdesh, it says, and you give the money, and then it becomes yours, basically, which means, what did they learn from this pasuk? That if I were to redeem someone else's hekdesh, what do we say about hekdesh? Who owns hekdesh? You don't own hekdesh. If you say, I'm giving this donkey to the mikdash, then the donkey no longer belongs to you. So if I come along and redeem it, I get ownership rights to the donkey, even though the donkey was originally yours, because you don't own the donkey anymore. It belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. So if I come along and I say, I want that donkey that's, let's assume what happens, right? The donkey is kind of in the property of the Beit HaMikdash at this point, because you donated it. I come and I say, I want that donkey. I'm giving money in place of it. So the donkey becomes mine because you no longer own the donkey. So if you say that since the donkey's asur bahana'a, while it's still in your property until you redeem it with a set, do we view it 100% like hekdesh? Which means that it doesn't belong to you anymore. So if I come and redeem it, it becomes mine. But yeah.
I'm having a problem with this because it's not his to redeem.
Again, if you view it as it belongs to the mikdash, then it could be mine to redeem because I come along to the mikdash. I want to give money. I say, here, I'm trading. I'm flipping, right? The Beit HaMikdash doesn't really need donkeys, so they're happy to get the cash.
Okay.
You have to remember, the whole system was a barter system, the way they did things. So it makes sense. You're basically bartering. You're saying, I'm just trading. You're not actually giving a donation, but you're trading the money. They're getting cash, and you're getting the donkey.
On the Mutar Lahana'a, it makes sense, though, because you can use this. First of all, you can use the same set over and over and over, and you can do it for much less value. So you'd be coming along and effectively taking somebody else's animal for nothing. So
right. That's why, obviously, if it's Mutar Bahana'a, it doesn't
work.
Mutar
Bahana'a, it really doesn't
work. Right. But if it's a Sur Bahana'a, so now the question is, do we view it like regular hekdesh, is if you brought this donkey to the mikdash, since anyway it's not yours, okay? Or why would this be different than hekdesh? O dilma kevan dekanele bebene bene lo dame la hekdesh. This donkey, when I said the donkey is part of the, right, someone dedicates the donkey to the mikdash, so the entire value of the donkey is hekdesh. But when you have this donkey and you can redeem it with a lamb, that means that there's this bene bene, there's this value that's not actually going to be lost to you, right? You're going to keep that donkey. You're going to switch the donkey for a set and end up, right, the donkey's worth 100, let's say. The set's worth 60. You're going to end up with that 40. So that means that this entire donkey, even if it's right now a sur bahana'a to you, once you redeem it, it'll be mutar for you, and those extra 40, whatever they are, shekels or whatever kind of money, currency we're talking about, that 40 is yours, in which case if someone comes and takes that, right, it's maybe it's not really like hekdesh. And therefore, because of the bene bene, lo damel hekdesh. So we don't know. Is it, again, do we view, if we say, now again, this is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, if we say it's asur bahana'a until such time you redeem it, do we view it as hekdesh entirely? Or is it not really like hekdesh? Because again, it's not going to ever be redeemed, or it doesn't need to be redeemed for the full amount. So Tashma, let's try to learn it from this source. Hagonev peter chamor shel chavero, mishalem tashlume kefel lebalim. If somebody steals a firstborn from you, what do they have to pay? Double, right? They have to pay kefel. Va'af al pi she'en lo achshav, even though right now it's not really yours because it's asur b'hana'a, yesh lo lachar mikein. It will be yours once you redeem it, and therefore whoever steals it from you has to pay double. Money. Now, first of all, who is this source go according to? And again, if we want to give this as an answer, we have to prove that this is according to Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Shimon. Ilema Rabbi Shimon, amai ein lo achshav. Ela pshita Rabbi Yehuda. It's obviously Rabbi Shimon because it says, even though he doesn't have rights to it right now, he will eventually have rights, and that's why you have to replace the donkey and pay kefa. Now, so the first issue is the line, apopishein lo achshav, which proves that it's Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not his now because it's a sorba hada'ah. Be'isa kadatach lehekdesh medamin alei. When we say your chayv tashlum kefel, it's in the case when you stole it mibeit ish from a person. If you steal it from hekdesh, you're not chayav to pay kefel. So the fact that we see that there's a din of kefel proves that what? It's not like hekdesh and it belongs to the Baali. Betulo midi. And you don't need to say any more. That's very clear. Okay. Echad bikra ve'echad shelo bikra. Okay, even though that's not really the case we're going to refer to in the Mishnah. What the Mishnah is referring to is if you have a suffix case, so you redeem it with a seh, but then the seh doesn't have to go to the Kohen, if you remember, because hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, the Kohen would have to prove that it is, and since we're not sure, he doesn't have to. And then the second to last line of the Mishnah was nichnas ladir lihitaser. So since this seh that you redeemed for the donkey is yours still, and didn't ever have to go to the Kohen, so when we have the laws of Maaser Behema, which is right, when you have to take the tenth of all your animals, that seh is going to go into the count of ten. Okay, so now, the Gemara is going to talk about this. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad amru nichnas ladir lihitaser. In which case do we say it goes lihitaser? Iyata yechol omar bibali de Kohen. It can't be a case where you gave it to the Kohen. Okay, now, there's two ways of understanding this. Either it's in the hands of the Kohen, then he doesn't have to do Maaser B'Hema, but that would be obvious. But it seems like they're referring to if you gave it to the Kohen and the Kohen gave it back to you, okay? Then that would be the case of what we're going to say exactly here, which is Shari Shaninu Halakuach, someone who buys an animal, Vishinitano B'Matana, and it's given to him as a gift. Let's say you gave it to the Kohen and he gives it back to you, kind of like we do with the five Sla'im, right? We give it to the Kohen for the Pinyon, and then often he gives the money back. So, in the case of halakoch b'shenitano b'matana, patur mimaser behema. So therefore, it can't possibly be that. What must be the case? Ela b'Yisrael shayulo asara safek petrei chamorim b'toch beto. It must have been a guy who had 10 safek peter chamors, shemafrish alehen asara sein, and then he redeemed them for 10, says, u'ma'asran behen shalo. Right? He does maaser behema, and they belong to him. Now, obviously, the 10th, right, has to be given as a korban, okay? But the point is, they belong to him. Miseyele l'Rav Nachman. This supports the statement of Rav Nachman. Damar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua. Yisrael shayulo asara safek petrei chamorim, mafrish alehen asara se'in u'masran behen shelo. Okay, he says the exact thing, okay? So in other words, our explanation of this supports what Rav Nachman says. Another statement of Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua. Here it's going to be a bit of a more complicated case. A Yisrael, okay, regular Yisrael, although we're going to see it's not a regular Yisrael. Shayulo asarat petrei chamorim vada'in betoch beito. He has 10 petrei chamors vada in his house, okay, that weren't redeemed. Shenaflu mi beit avi imo kohen. He inherited them from his grandfather, from his mother's side, who was a kohen. His mother was a Bat Kohen. He inherited the donkeys, the firstborn donkeys, from the father. Sorry, from the grandfather, because his father's obviously Yisrael. That's why he's a Yisrael. Voto avi imo Kohen. It gets more complicated. The grandfather, who was a Kohen, naflulo mi beit avi imo Yisrael. Okay, he inherited them. Right, I know, that's what I was trying to think. The firstborn donkey is still existing, and the donkey's still there. It seems a little strange, but okay. They were inherited to him from his mother's father, who was the Yisrael. Okay? Meaning, why do you have to have this? Because they were originally Chayav and Petar Chamor, but then they were no longer Chayav and Petar Chamor. Now they pass hands into Yisrael's hands. Would they be Chayav? So what do you have to do? Mafrish alehen asaras se'inu ma'asran. He does have to take the seh in place of the chamor, because originally they were chayav and peter chamor, because they never got redeemed. Behein shelo, but he gets to keep them. Why? Because he doesn't have to do any more than his grandfather would have, and his grandfather wouldn't wouldn't have, right? He was Kohen. He wouldn't have had to. He would have had to redeem them himself because they came from a Yisrael, so they would need redemption. But he wouldn't need to give them to anybody. And since he's inheriting from a Kohen, he doesn't have to give them to a Kohen.
Why wouldn't the process have ended with the Kohen?
Because they were originally Chayav and Petra Chamor.
But then by receiving them, he could have been, instead of getting...
He could have redeemed them for a sin and just kept them all. But since he didn't redeem them, they need redemption still.
You have to redeem a Petra Chamor? You can't give the Petra Chamor to the Kohen? Because the Kohen received...
Right, you're supposed to redeem the Petra Chamor with a sin. And give the Kohen the set. Could you give him the Petra Chamor? I guess you could have, but in this case, he inherited it. It wasn't like it was given to him from a Yisrael. It was, right. It was just passed down. Okay, but Amrav Nachman, Amrav, it's very complicated. Okay. But Amrav Nachman, Amrav Rabua. Yisrael Shayulo Tvalim Memurachin. Okay, now we're going to have a similar case. You have a pile of tevel, food that Trumot Masra weren't taken from. Memurachim, that means they're in a pile. That's, right, when it goes into the pile, that's where you're chayim in Trumot Masra. B'toch beito, again, he had them in his house. Shenaflu mi beit avi imo kohen, they were inherited to him from, bequeathed to him from his kohen grandfather. Voto, you have to remember this case, besides sounding preposterous that this would all happen, it's also hard to imagine because generally the mother doesn't inherit, right? It would have to be there were no other male inheritors, but okay. There are cases, it's just rare. Voto avi imo kohen naflulo mi beit avi imo Yisrael. Okay, so again, the same thing happened. He inherited this tevel from the Yisrael. So the Kohen inherited from Yisrael and now bequeathed it to Yisrael. And again, in order for this all to happen, has to skip generations. Otherwise, it would have gone from Yisrael to Yisrael, right? If it was his son, it would have to go through the daughter. That's why we have all these cases. Masran vehem shelo. He takes that truman and masra, but they belong to him. Now we have a bit of a problem here. How could the truma belong to him? Truma is, a czar can't eat truma. So obviously what it means is he can sell it to a kohen. Normally you have to give the truma as a gift to a kohen. In this case, he has ownership rights to the truma also because his grandfather would have owned the truma. And therefore, so he can sell the truma to a kohen since he has nothing else to do with it. Or if a kohen comes as a guest, he can give it to him instead of giving him his own food. That it's his. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to have to say why we need to mention both these cases. Utsrifa. De'iashminan kamaita with the animals, what might you say? Mishum de kamafresh vekai. It's because they're already separated. In other words, there's a seh and there's donkeys and they're not one and the same. Aval hacha matnot shelo hormu kimi shelo hormu damyan. But when it comes to matano, you had a pile of tevel, you never separated truma and masra from it. Well, then it's not like the kohen ever owned the truma. He never really owned the truma because it was never separated. We can look at a pile. This is right. Matnot shelo hormu. If you haven't tevel, right, is as if shelo hormu. Now, if you remember, there's a machloket about this. We've seen the other opinion, which is matanot shelo hormu kihur mudami. It's as if you already separated the truma and masra from. But they're saying maybe you'd hold that it's not right. You can't, and therefore maybe this tevel would be different. The law would be different since they were never separated. Maybe it was never as if the kohen owned the stuff that was had right. The kohen had rights to because the matanot were never separated. Say malo, you would say no. This isn't the case, meaning you'd have to give it to the kohen. The iashmin and hacha, and let's say you just had the tevel case, de'ef sharla asuri minei ube. You can actually just, let's look at the flip. If you say matanot shelo hormu, kirumu dami, why is that? Because that pile of tevel includes, theoretically, truma and the rest of it, right? Whereas, aval hatam kevan de'sem me'al ma'ate, since in order to take off the holiness of the donkey or whatever the status of the donkey, you need to take a seh from somewhere else, maybe you'd say, baya tuye umafrish v'kai, right? You need to actually, baya tuye umafrish v'kai, right? Ema lo. Okay, you might have said, then maybe this wouldn't be the case since it was never considered redeemed since you would have to have brought a seh from somewhere else and that's already more difficult. Therefore, it's tzricha. Therefore, you need both cases to say no. While it was in the possession of the coin in the in-between stage, it was as if, in both cases, it was already redeemed. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Natan, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Halokeach tfalim mimurachim mina ovei kochavim umasran vehen shelo. Masran vehen shelo. Okay, if you take, okay, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Natan gives the following halacha in the name of Rabbi Chanina. If you buy tevel, that was made into a pile from a non-Jew. So the assumption here is that you were, right, that you were in, you were working as a sharecropper on his property. Okay, I think this is the case. One second. Oh, maybe not. Right, they're going to have to explain it. Okay, so right now we don't really know what case they're talking about. If you buy a maisered produce that was already put in a pile from an ovei kochavim, you have to take masro when you buy, after you buy it, and they become yours. Okay, you don't have to actually give them to the kohen. So now the Gemara is going to say, dimarchin human, who put this stuff in a pile? When it was, right, it says from an ovei kochavim. If you say the simple reading, which is the ovei kochavim, the non-Jew, put it in the pile. Well, then, just like we said before, the moment of putting in the pile is what makes the chayav and trumot masro. He's not chayav and trumot masro of the non-Jew. The time that the chiyuv kicks in, there was no chiyuv because an ovei kochavim is not chayav and trumot masro. So, since it says degan chama rachmana velo degan ovei kochavim, therefore, if it was in the reshit of an ovei kochavim, you don't. That's not maaser degan chad. This isn't yours. It's true you bought it, but you bought it after it already. The moment that the chiyuv kicked in, therefore there is no chiyuv because the chiyuv never happened. Ela demarchinu Yisrael mi reshit ovei kochavim. What happened here? You were working as a sharecropper for the ovei kochavim. You put it into the pile yourself. Now, at this point, what's the issue? The issue is that as a sharecropper, part of this is going to go to you. Therefore, at least part of it was chayav in trumot masro. Okay? So there's a bit of a debate about how much and whatever. But either which way, marchinu Yisrael mirushit ovei kochavim, ma'asran, so you have to take maaser on it. Why? De'ein kinyan la'ovei kochavim be'eretz Yisrael lafkia miyab maaser. In other words, what did you do then? You bought some of that, okay, whether you bought it from your being a sharecropper or you were a sharecropper and then bought it from him. But when you now walk away with whatever you purchased from him, you now have to take trumot masrot on that because even though, now there's a machloket about this, it's very interesting machloket, very relevant, which is, does a kinyan of ovei kochavim, does it take away the chiyuv of maser? Okay, so again, it would only be, like, let's say you go to a non-kosher supermarket here, okay? Supermarket, you know, let's say the farm was owned by a non-Jew, or, right, and he put the stuff into a pile, and then he, right, sells it to you. So there's you don't have to take trumot masro because the pile was done by the non-Jew. But if he has land here, and then you put it into a pile, right, in other words, then there's ein kinyan lovei kochavim be'eretz Yisrael lafkia miyab maaser. Since it's still in the land, it's still in Eretz Yisrael, his ownership doesn't get rid of the kedushat ha'aretz. Okay? There's machloket about this, whether there's kinyan lovei kochavim lafkia miyab maaser or not. Okay? Therefore, you have to take the masrot, okay, because you did the pile, okay? Behen shelo. Now the Gemara is going to explain why hen shelo. Why don't you have to give it then to the Kohen? Meaning, again, you take trumot masro, you can sell it to the Kohen. You don't have to give it to him. Why not? Because de amar le ka'atina mikoch gavra de lo matzit ishtai dina bahadeh. Because this came to me, this is like the previous case. This came to me from a person that you would have had no rights to take out of his hands. Okay, there's a few ways of understanding it. Is it that some people think it means someone who would never listen to you in court. You can't go to an Ovei Kochavim and say, hey, give me my trumot masro, they're mine, right? But also, not only that, but even if in theory he would listen to you, you have no rights to the trumot, right? In other words, if he had done the pile, then he wouldn't have owed you anything. And therefore, since I'm getting it from him, I don't have to give it to you. Okay, Tnan Hatam, Mishnah. We're quoting a Mishnah now in Demai. Hamafki perotav etzel hakuti, ve'etzel am aretz. Okay, let's say you give your fruits to a kuti, that's right, one of the Samaritans, or in am aretz, who both of those people are not trusted when it comes to trumot masrot. Again, in am aretz, is different from an Ovei Kochavim, because an Am Haaretz is obligated, but also we assume he does Truma, not Truma Maaser. Okay, there's a, right, they do assume he gives Truma Gedola. Okay, he doesn't give the Truma that goes from the Maaser to the Levi, and then the Levi is supposed to give the Maaser. He doesn't believe in that, or it doesn't do it. There's a debate about why exactly he's not trustworthy for this. But anyway, you give your Perot to a Kuti or an Am Haaretz, Bechez Katan Lamaaser Ulashvit. Okay, whatever status you gave it to him, and now you get it back, we assume that was the status, whether it's Maaser, whether you gave Maaser already, and, you know, you don't, what don't you have to worry? You don't have to worry that he switched your fruits with his fruits. You give him a pile of fruits, you don't have to worry they swapped it. Whatever status it was, that's the status it is. Okay, the Shvid, it's about, if it was Shvid produce, or you don't have to worry that he switched it with Shvi produce, that then it's Mam Bior, when there's no longer anymore outside in the fields, you'd have to get rid of this stuff. Eitzel Ovei Kochavim Kiperotav. But if you gave it to an Ovei Kochavim, then you would have to be concerned that he swapped it with his, and you would treat it as if it was a non-Jewish produce. Rabbi Shimon Omer Dimai. Rabbi Shimon says, right, one second. Right, so according to this, right, the question is, what exactly kiperotav? You would have to say, right, either, so kiperotav sounds like we're being machmir. The problem is, we just said before that it's kiperotav, they're not even chayav, because if they did the pile, then you don't have to worry about it. But it could be the person who says, the Tanakhama here holds that the meruach of an Ovei Kochavim doesn't exempt you. Okay, there's different opinions about it, and then you maybe be chayav, even though he did the pile. Could be maybe it's before the pile. Okay, different options, but it sounds like he's being machmir. Rabbi Shimon Omer Dimai. Okay, you don't. They're not for sure. They're suffic. Okay, it's a suffic whether he swapped them or whether he didn't. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. So now the question's going to be one. Lafrish kule amalo pligi. Nobody disagrees. Everyone agrees that you have to be mafresh trumot ma'asrot. Ki pligi litnam lekohen. So here the machloket becomes, we're going to say, what's really the machloket when he says, is it vadai echlifam or is it safek echlifam? We're going to treat it as demai. The question is, do you have to give it to the kohen? Everybody agrees that you have to be mafresh trumot ma'asrot from them, but, and it's because maybe he swapped them. The question is, do you have to give it to the kohen? Tanakama savar, Vadai chafinhu ubayim ininu lekohen. He clearly swapped them, and therefore you have to give it to the kohen. Rabbi Shimon savar demai. Rabbi Shimon says they're demai. It's only safek, and therefore you don't have to give what you gave to the kohen, because what's the principle again? If it's safek, hamotzi mechaber ala paraya, the burden of proof relies on the kohen to prove, and he can't prove that it belongs to him. So again, what could he do? What can he do with the truma? He can't eat it anyway. He'd have to give the truma, right? He'd sell it. He could sell it to a kohen. Okay? Yativ Rav Dimi v'ka'amar lahashmata. So now Rav Dimi came and gave this explanation of Rabbi Elazar. Amar le'abai, ta'ama demesapkalan, ichafinu, ilochafinu. This whole, everything you just explained is based on, right, that we don't know, did he swap or did he not swap? And there's a machloket. What's inferred from there? Ha vadai chafinu. If we know that he for sure swapped it, then what? Tekule alma baye mitninu lekohen. Right? Lemitvinu lekohen. Everyone would agree that you'd have to give it to the kohen. Now, what's the problem? This goes against what we saw previously. Vaha amar Rabbi Shmuel, amar Rabbi Chanina. The whole thing we saw at the very bottom of the daf, or really at the top of our daf, which is if you take tevel, mimurachim min ovei kochavim, what did we say? Masran vehein shelo, which sounds like you get to keep them. And this seems to imply everyone would say you'd have to give it to the kohen. It's only when we don't know do we assume he swapped it or not. But it sounds like if you knew he swapped it, for sure you'd have to give it to the kohen. So how can we explain this? So v'hamar v'shmuel amar v'chanina halokech tvalim min avei kochavim b'murachim ma'asram v'hem shelo. That's the question. So dilma kam v'truma gedola kam v'truma ma'aser. So he says maybe there's a difference because there we're talking about truma gedola. One second. This Mishnah where you're saying you have to give it to the Kohen is truma gedola. And when we said that Rabbi Shmuel bar Natan said it's patur milatan the kohen is trumat maaser, okay? And that, one second, why would there be such a difference? Because, right, Truma Gedola, first of all, we're always more machmir about. I'm assuming the difference with the Truma Maser, I'm not 100% sure, is because the Truma Maser only is supposed to go to the Levi. In other words, it's really the Maser that's supposed to go to the Levi, and the Levi is really responsible to give it to the Kohen. So maybe because of that, we're going to be more Mekel in that. Okay. Es karatan milta. Okay, so now, so it's missing the words amarle. Okay, so now Rav Dimi says to Abaye, and this is, right, Rav Dimi said the following thing about what Rabbi Elazar said, which is, kule amalo plige, right, that everyone agrees you have to be mafresh, it's just a matter of you have to give it to the Kohen. Then Abaye said, this seems to contradict, right, the inference from here seems to contradict what Rabbi Shmuel bar Natan said, and then Abaye answered it himself. So now Rav Dimi says, Eskarat Hamilta, you're reminding me of the following, that Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Minayin lelokech tfalim memurachim min ovei kochavim, Shehu patur mitrumat maaser. Oh, this is where we get from, right? That, okay, sorry, now we're going to explain why it's different with trumat maaser. If you take tevel that was put in a pile by an ovei kochavim, you're patur for trumat maaser. Shneamar, right, it's a special, now I remember, right? It comes specifically from here. That there's a special p'tur from Trumat Maaser specifically. Shneamar, ve'ela levi'im tidaber. Here's the pasuk for the levi'im, okay? It says, and to the levi'im you should say, v'amarta lehem, ki tikhu me'et b'nei Yisrael. Okay, right? When you get from b'nei Yisrael your maaser, right, you're supposed to give, now let's read the whole pasuk, ki tikhu me'et b'nei Yisrael et ha-maaser, asher natati lechem, me'itam v'nachlethem, v'harimotem mimenu Trumat Hashem maaser min ha-maaser. Okay, so now notice what it says. Ki tikhu me'et b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so therefore we're going to say, Tfalim sh'ata lokech mi b'nei Yisrael, ata mafrish mehem trumat maaser b'na l'kohen. Tfalim sh'ata lokech min ovei kochavim, I ata mafrish mehem trumat maaser b'na l'kohen. There's a unique halacha, because it says mi b'nei Yisrael, the trumat maaser is only relevant if you get it from a Yisrael. And since this was gotten from the Ovei Kochavim, so therefore we're now going to say that that whole halacha we said about Meruach of the Ovei Kochavim is poter from Truma Maaser. It's really only poter from Truma Maaser and not from Truma Gedola. Okay. Ve'im met nehenimbo. Okay, this is the very last line of the Mishnah, right, where the Mishnah said, when you have this sefek peter chamor, you redeem it with a set, you get to keep it, right? And, right, nechnas l'dir l'taser, that was the previous halacha we discussed, and if it dies, nehenimbo, you can benefit from it. So now the Gemara is going to say, demit hecha, where did it die? Ilema demit be kohen, v'nehenebo kohen, pshita mamona didehu. If you want to say it died when it was in the possession of the kohen, well, that's, and it's, let's say you took the say, you gave it to the kohen, so obviously, right, in other words, they're questioning which case this was referring to. Was it referring to a Safi case, a Vada case, right? If it's referring to a case where you gave the set of the coin, well, obviously it's 100% the moment of the coin. Of course you can benefit from it. Ela demit be balim v'nehenebo kohen. If you want to say, you separated the set to give to the coin, but you didn't yet give it to him, and it died in the possession of the Yisrael, right, who didn't give it yet. V'nehenebo kohen, and we're trying to say the coin's allowed to benefit from it. Hanami pshita, that's also obvious why. Because it's really, right, you didn't give it to the Kohen, but you were supposed to give it to the Kohen, so it's as if it's his. So they say, oh no, actually that's the case, and it's not so pshita. Why does the Mishnah need to tell you this? Sal kadata chamina kol kama de lo mate liade lo zachebe. You might have thought that while it's still in your property until you've actually given to the Kohen, maybe it doesn't belong to him. Kamash malan, this teaches you to me'ina da'afreshe b'rashute de'kohen kai, that as soon as you separate it, it's already considered, like, tagged with, you know, Kohen on it, and it belongs to him, even though it's still in your possession.